Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and this morning joining me from the airwaves is Patrick Ryan. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning, Amy.
Thanks for joining me early this morning. I was explaining to Mike who you are. I'm excited for you to tell us who you are. Can you start with leading with your connection to Alaska, how you got here, and your agriculture background?
Sure. Well, I grew up in Iowa, so that explains a lot right there.
Why you're here now?
Well, no. It wasn't a farm situation, but we were definitely rural in Davenport, Iowa, and kind of inspired by that. It looked like Grant Wood art, you know, all around me, and we were right on the Mississippi River. Beautiful, beautiful place. And started gardening early, too, so that gets into your soul pretty early, and that beautiful black topsoil down there
is
pretty amazing, which you can get for a dollar a bag at the Hy-Vee store, you know. So, next trip down there, I'll be bringing back a few bags.
There you go.
But moved up to Alaska in '84, and I've been an elementary school teacher for 21 years. Retired from that, and but always have been a gardener. I actually remember the first thing that really got me going. My dad brought home one of those little windowsill grow kits, and it had the mimosa plant in it, a sensitive plant, the one that moves when you touch it.
Oh, yeah, yep.
And, oh, boy, after that, I was just hooked. So I used to have a garden every year, and I learned how to grow popcorn pretty well. So just had a lot of fun playing in the dirt, and that's what I still do as the education specialist at the Alaska Botanical Garden.
Yeah, education specialist. That's a big title.
Yeah, it's kind of all-encompassing. Well, there are just a few of us at the garden.
And you were just about to jump into what that means.
Well, currently that means that we have quite a number of programs that we are involved in that involve children, which is kind of my specialty. I feel like after that 21 years in first grade, I like being around kids. They're fun, and it's fun to be able to teach them about plants and growing. So the main thing we're doing right now is we have a 21st century program. It's involved with Anchorage School District with Title I schools.
Okay.
And we go into the schools after school. It's an after-school program. We're one of several entities that come and visit the schools. And they get help with homework in one of the sessions, but for our session, they'll come. And we see two groups 2 weeks in a row of about 25 kids in a group. So we see about 800 kids a year in the program.
Wow.
And basically, we have these like Costco rolling metal carts that we have, the metal steel shelves.
Okay.
And we're rigged up with lights. And you can buy a system like that for about $800, but they don't ship to Alaska. So we rigged up our own. And then we have these like office supply tubs that you would put your sweaters in or something, stick them under the bed, or you know, your off-season clothing or something. So they work pretty well. And we grow a lot of greens with the kids. Greens and herbs, mostly, we've learned to do pretty well. So the kids are learning how to grow food, and we harvest it, and we have different snacks that we've done. We've done salsa and pesto and salads, obviously. And this go-around, we're pretty brave. My teaching partner, Stacy Schreiner, is quite an herbalist, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, too, and a cook. And we're going to make spring rolls with the kids and some of the food that we have. So pretty exciting. So that's the main thing we do. But we do have in the spring and fall field trips to the garden. We have school groups come out. And also during the school year, I go into schools for several visits that we have. We have lessons on worm soil and composting. One's called Nutrition from the Garden, where does food come from? And Alaska plants and trees, and these are aligned with the school district science standards and the current STEM situation. Yeah, so that's a lot of fun.
That's a lot of kids that are being reached with a little bit of ag education. That's incredible.
It is, and I do like to use that term, agricultural literacy, which I've been involved with ag in the classroom for quite a number of years. In fact, that's how I got started with the Junior Master Gardener program, which we've been conducting at the Alaska Botanical Garden since 2004. My friend, I think you know her, Victoria Nagley.
Oh, yeah.
We met her at the fair, actually my wife had, and picked up a couple free pencils and a CD about some of the lessons and things, and I ended up meeting her down in Nashville at my first Ag in the Classroom conference, where I learned about the Junior Master Gardener program, and boy, it's just been straight ahead ever since then. So that's a great program for teachers and folks who want to do some kind of gardening with kids. You really don't have to reinvent the wheel. So kind of tagging on to that, the ultimate goal of this 21st century program, too, was to get school gardens started. And we've managed to get some at Fairview and Wonder Park and the Alaska Native Charter School. And then our school business partner right across the street from us, Benny Benson School, has put in a garden in the ground. And they now have the grow shelves inside, too, and they're working with the kids with that. So
that's great.
Pretty exciting stuff, yeah. And I feel that's so important with kids, and especially these Title I schools we work with. Kids may not have a lot of control in their life, and this way you're in charge of that. It's sort of like a pet, you know. When you plant that seed, you've got to take care of it, but it gives you something in the end. You eat it. So.
Yeah.
But I hope that by summer that they're ready to try it on their own, you know, even just one container or a window box or something. You don't have to plow up the whole yard.
Right. But, it's, you know, that's what I found with working with kids over the last, you know, 10 or 12 years being in this field. The excitement and the kind of aha moment that happens with every kid when the seed grows, or they pull the potato out of the ground, or they, a couple of years ago we took kids to Vanderweil Farm and they ate Brussels sprouts like right out of the field. You know, they were popping them off the stem themselves, and watching those kids have that moment of realization about where their food comes from is pretty powerful.
Yeah, I love to kid the kids and tell them, do you know your food's growing in dirt? And of course, we do use the word soil. And
right.
I was at Muldoon School the other day and asking the kids what the process is and where does it all start? And they actually use that word soil. So the lessons we've been doing there, yeah, I think that's important. I like the difference there. We say dirt's what's under your fingernails and soil's what's under your feet.
Yeah.
So that was pretty good. I said, you're a real gardener now if you say that.
There you go. Well, Patrick, I have to interrupt you for just a second to remind folks that they're listening to Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and this morning my guest is Patrick Ryan, an education specialist at the Alaska Botanical Garden. So, Patrick, I've been to the Botanical Garden many, many times, but in the unlikely event that someone listening hasn't been there, tell us a little bit more about, you know, how to find out more, how to get there, hours of operation, just some of the basics of the Botanical Garden and what you guys do.
Okay, well, you should probably first visit AlaskaBG for botanicalgarden.org, and we're on Facebook also, and you can find a lot of information there. We've got some exciting events coming up, but we can talk about that. We have about 110 acres of property that's leased from the Muni. We're a small nonprofit, and it's a public garden, and I'll give you our little tagline. We're dedicated to the enhancing the beauty and value of plant material through education, preservation, recreation, and research, and science in there too. And, I know you know this, in terms of revenue generated, Alaska's top five agricultural products include greenhouse and nursery products.
Absolutely.
So it's not everything that we eat, it's other things that we enjoy and dress up our containers. And I tell our visitors that we have such a short season, we want a lot of color in our face, so we do those hanging baskets and a lot of containers and things, and we can have our
Yeah.
To see that. So we'd love to have people come out and visit the garden. We are open daylight hours year-round. We say kind of dawn to dusk. So in the summer, that's a little bit later.
I like that. I think I'm going to switch my work hours to daylight hours, particularly this time of year.
So we're just south of Tudor Road on Kemmler Strip Road, kind of in the Muldoon big curve area coming there. We have over 1,000 hardy perennials, 100 native plant species, and several gardens, two perennial gardens, a formal herb garden, a really cool alpine rock garden, which has a great collection of hypertufa troughs. It's the little trough gardens with the little alpine plants over there, and we have a wildflower trail, and our cool heritage garden celebrated our Anchorage's centennial, and we recreated some of the styles and plants of gardens back in the day.
Okay.
And yeah, so that's a pretty cool place. We have a lot of edibles mixed in there too, which I would encourage folks to do that in your containers too. There's no reason you can't have edibles and ornamentals together. So,
absolutely.
A lot of fun with creating those beautiful gardens and maintaining those. A lot of work with that, but it's so gorgeous. We get visitors from all over the world, so it's kind of exciting talking to people and seeing what's going on in their country or their state. And we do workshops. We've got on our calendar, you'll see we have actually a wreath-making workshop coming up.
One of them is
filled, and one we have some openings. And my teaching partner, Stacy, is going to be doing herbal salves as a class, homemade salves. But that one's already sold out, so we may have to repeat that. And we've got an ice candle and luminary workshop coming up, too. So, and you know, I have to put in a plug. Memberships would make nice gifts for people. Because we don't need more stuff, but we need those memories and things for people to do that they could come and visit any time.
Okay. Do you have a sort of annual pass type of membership to the garden that folks can buy?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, a year pass. And yeah, I've had a lot of those this summer, and I thought that was really a thoughtful gift. I'm happy with the gift of a bag of potting soil myself. So you know, those gardeners are a little different sometimes. So
yeah.
Great.
Very good. And so it sounds like you guys stay busy even this time of year, even though it's cold and frozen. There's still a lot going on there at the garden.
Exactly. And like I say, we're adding on this idea of getting school gardens started with people and helping them. And we've actually had a summit about school gardens with Catherine Kemp. She's working through the mayor's office with Vista AmeriCorps.
Oh, right. Yep.
And we're trying to find out who has school gardens. I know most of them, but there may be some I don't know about, or a greenhouse, and what they're doing with them and if they need help. And so we're trying to get everybody together on the same page there. I just met with the Girl Scouts from Turnigan Elementary, and they want to have a school garden there. So we are planning that, and they were just great at really organizing that, knowing what they wanted, and very exciting to see that. But you've got to have a champion teacher in the school, at least one, to help move that forward. And
no champion, no mission, right?
Pardon?
I said no champion, no mission, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And our tough part is we're not in school when our garden's growing, so...
Right.
When I was training down in Texas in 03, I went out with the trainers and we were buying pansies to plant in their garden in October. I said, this is just wrong. Yes, it's so different. They can garden all summer. In fact, or all their winter, supposed winter there, because that's when they're in school. And actually, it's not too hot then. So not our problem.
Right.
I don't care about that. So it's tricky.
Yeah. I've heard about a fun project. I'm guessing you probably know Ira Edwards. I heard that he's working on an orchard project that's related to one of the schools, right?
Exactly. I was going to mention that, too. We had a meeting, and I'm also on the Alaska Community Forest Council and kind of tagged on with that, too, and I met with Ira. And he's got a dream of having an orchard at every school as well as a garden, and you know, you'd need at least two trees to start to pollinate each other. So
okay.
I don't know how many trees an orchard necessarily needs to be, but there is a great one up at Trailside Elementary, and that's starting over at Kincaid. Those are two that I know of and been around for a little while. So another exciting thing for kids to see and do and be involved in and get outdoors and do something healthy and kind of scientific and learn about food and, you know, plant breeding and pollination and insects. And it just goes on and on where the science is in there.
Absolutely. And, you know, as a person who works in agriculture marketing and, you know, they're the eaters of tomorrow, right? They're the grocery shoppers of tomorrow. And if we can convince them, connect them, increase their understanding and passion about, again, where their food is coming from, then they're the folks that will be demanding Alaska-grown food in restaurants and grocery stores in the future. And that's what it's all about, right? That's how we help grow this industry, is by changing people's habits and preferences, et cetera.
That's right. And statistics show that if kids grow the food, they will eat it generally.
Yeah.
So, and try different things. And of course, there's the Eat a Rainbow idea that we kind of promote that with kids. And Alaska grown also, as we say, fresher by far.
Yep.
And who wouldn't want that? You can't beat our carrots here. And kids know that.
Absolutely. You know, it just occurred to me, or I was just thinking that last, or maybe 2 weeks ago, when I was headed down to the Farm Bureau meeting, I was on the phone with the new school nutrition manager, director, I can't remember his title, but anyways, the gentleman in charge of the Anchorage School District school lunch program. And he is actually an ex-farmer, I think from Minnesota. But anyway, he's super passionate about the food system and the food that's, you know, going into the school lunch program there in Anchorage. And they are buying Vanderweil potatoes and replacing their mashed potatoes that are currently, you know, like a dehydrated mashed potato from the lower 48
right.
somewhere. They're trying to replace that with local, you know, Vanderweil potatoes. And I was so excited to hear that they're making those kinds of efforts and really trying hard to incorporate more Alaska grown into the school lunch program.
Yeah, that's just such a no-brainer, but
there's
definitely hoops to go through there with that. And that's exciting. I'll have to track this gentleman down. And that's kind of on the tail end of the school garden idea too, that food can maybe come into the kitchen, but there, you know, there's the cleanliness standards and, you know, we do promote organic gardening really, because in Alaska, we really don't have a lot of the troubles that they have down south. And I don't think we need all those chemicals, in my personal
sure.
opinion.
Sure, yep.
I think it's fairly easy to grow clean food. So I'd love to be able to see some of that, you know, go right into the kitchen.
Well, as you're passionate about, it's another learning opportunity. You know, teaching kids how to safely prepare food and take it from the garden to the kitchen is another opportunity for a lesson.
It definitely is. I was at American Horticultural Society symposium this summer, and I actually got to present there, and that was pretty exciting.
Yeah.
But I went to a session on cooking, and oh, this lady was so fantastic about it. And they actually have in Baltimore, a school kitchen place dedicated to kids with kid-sized tables and like a U-shaped table that you can kind of cook with the kids and demonstrate. And they let them use knives and things.
Yeah.
Amazing that what they had stocked in their kitchen as far as utensils and products and groceries and things. Just doing great things. So it is possible, and it's being done too. So, and like I say, people don't really have to reinvent a lot of these activities. People are already doing these throughout the country, and it's easy to find out, you know, what's going on and something we can replicate here.
Yeah, you mentioned our mutual friend Victoria Nagley, and mm-hmm. the work that she did with agriculture in the classroom still lives on here in Alaska. And I think Melissa Sykes, she's been a guest of mine on the show. It's been quite some time ago, but she still maintains the Alaska Agriculture in the Classroom website. And you're right, the resources that are there available for teachers are really incredible. And you don't have to reinvent the wheel. Someone's already thought of a lesson that's certified or endorsed by the system. And so many activities there for teachers to use.
And that was on my list to talk about, too. Agclassroom.org is the website. It is a national program.
There we go.
We do have that in Alaska. Indeed, Melissa Sykes is in charge of that right now. And that is administered through Fairbanks Soil and Water Conservation. We faltered a little bit through the years after Victoria had kind of moved on. And so we got it back finally. So there were some great lessons there. And we just did a workshop that she organized, which was fantastic, about basically about hydroponics. So at the Botanical Garden, I now have the China Vertical Grow Tower. And if you want to know what that is, you should look that up. It's made out of the 5-gallon buckets, and we've got it ready to go. I'm just waiting to pick up the rock wool and get that planted.
That's part of Bernie's vision, is to have one of those in every classroom, right?
And I think we're going to get one at Fairview. I've got that champion teacher over there, Mrs. Flores. Shout out to you.
Very good.
It was great for that. So, ag in the classroom, a great thing.
The first time I saw one of those towers was actually, it's kind of funny, you got to go to Washington, D.C. to see something that was created in Alaska, but I saw it in Senator Murkowski's office. It's a great setup. It's a cheap and efficient way to grow some food in a small space, right?
Yeah, Bernie says you can grow 14 heads of lettuce a week.
Well, that's more than I need.
I know. You've eaten a lot of lettuce.
Yeah.
I'm going to plant ours with a red romaine. I've got it all set up, like I said, just waiting for the rock wool, and we'll get that going. I've got a little aquaponics tank going right now with some of that red romaine. So it's pretty for Christmas, and the fish seem happy, so everybody's doing well.
Very good. Well, one more interruption and reminder that you're listening to Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and this morning, Patrick Ryan, an education specialist at the Alaska Botanical Garden, is joining me, and we're talking about all the good work that you're doing there. Patrick, we're two-thirds of the way through our time, so I know you had a couple of other things you wanted to tell us about. So, what?
Yeah, one of them is our harvest day, which we do kind of end of August, maybe early September, and obviously we're harvesting what's in the garden. We've got my junior master gardener plot where we do our summer camp. Is beautifully organized and landscaped with these nice boxes, wooden boxes, and that's mostly food in there. And then we have some in our research plot and also in the heritage garden and the herb garden. So we celebrate that day, so it'll be on our calendar, and watch for that. The big thing, though, coming up, exciting news, is our spring conference. So we didn't do one last year. We skipped a year, and so I'm excited that we're getting that back. So it'll be on March 10th in 2018 at the BP Energy Center here in Anchorage. And people can send in a proposal, and we need those by January 8th.
In order to be a presenter at the conference?
Right.
Okay.
Right. And we've got some interest already. A friend of ours, Taylor Burbridge. I'm sure you know her.
Yep.
She's I'm going to put you on the spot, Taylor. Submitted a proposal, we're talking about it, of green roofs.
Oh.
And I think that'd be a really great one. So they're starting to come in, and I don't know if we'll have a national speaker or not, but we've got such great local people and so much talent out there, and a lot of different ways to garden, styles, and one was even like yoga in the garden they were looking at, and you know, it's a good idea to stretch out and warm up before you get out there, so and we may do something with that. So
perfect.
You can send those to my teaching partner, Stacy Schreiner. It's Stacy, it's stacey.schreiner@alaskabg.org, and you can find it on our website, alaskabg.org.
Is there an official proposal, or do you just kind of pitch her your idea of your presentation?
Either one.
Okay.
We'll want a proposal and a mugshot and a little description, and then it'll be looked at by our education committee and conference committee.
And who's typically in the audience, Patrick? Like, who am I going to share my information with if I get picked to give a proposal or give
a
presentation?
That's a great question. Yeah, good question. Mostly it'll be our local folks, and folks do come in from the Valley. We appreciate that. And it would be a lot of, as I call them, the usual suspects, a lot of our garden club folks. And you know, there's people that are very advanced with their gardening and know what they're doing, and then there's some kind of just starting out. And we're hoping to get the younger folks, too, because as we know, their kind of goal is to learn how to grow food. It's kind of a national thing with, as we say, the millennials. And we need some folks to be filling in these gaps as our other folks might move along or age out or move
sure.
away even. So hoping for some young blood to come in there too. So it'll be some experienced people, and I would say for the most part, and then some, you know, beginners hopefully too.
Yeah.
We want people to be brave and come and learn something new. And that's like me with kids. I encourage them, just learn to grow peas. They're so easy. And once you bite a snap pea and eat that whole pod, you're going to be hooked.
There's,
you know, every kid in Alaska should be growing peas.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
For audience members or folks that might want to be in the room for the spring conference, when does registration open for the general folks?
Well, that is a great question that I don't have the answer to yet.
Okay.
So,
watch for it.
It's in March. Yeah, we got plenty of time for that. So.
Sure. But
we'll let you know about that.
Yeah, but I think it typically sells out, doesn't it? And the BP Energy Center only has so many seats. So if folks want to be in the room, they should pay attention and watch your website and Facebook for that announcement about when registration opens for the spring conference.
Exactly. Thanks for mentioning that. Yeah. We're going to have the whole building, so we'll be able to use
okay.
different rooms.
Good.
Yeah, that's going to be good. That's a lot of fun doing that. A lot of work, a lot of fun.
Yeah. Patrick, our time is almost up, so I don't know how this half hour goes by so fast, but it always does. I want to say thank you again for joining me this morning on Ag Matters Radio and telling us about all the great things that you've got going on at the Botanical Garden.
Yeah, no, I sure appreciate the opportunity, and you know, it's a place where people can come and just walk and de-stress. I just read the Nature Fix book with a lot of research in there about how walking into the woods is so good in so many ways for you, or the hidden life of the forest. All these great studies coming out that show how healthy it is to be outdoors and in nature and appreciating everything that we have around us.
Absolutely. I'm a big fan of that. So thanks again, Patrick, and have a great day.
Thanks, Amy. Talk to you soon.
Been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.